But it's okay. Like if you have a micro bag and you know you don't have much conviction and it moons, don't worry about it. Fine. Like, right. You just, yeah. You know, it's all good.
We talked about it a little bit the other day, but you're not touching anything like on Solana or on Base at all, right? If it's not on Coinbase or like on an exchange, you're not fucking with it, right?
At this moment, man, like, geez, like I could, but God damn, like the tax consequences.
My problem is, but you could just take a look at cost on Sol today.
Interesting. Cost, COST?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's an incredible meme. It's an incredible fucking meme.
My general issue is, like, I move way too much money and like my audit risk is high. So the problem is if I go fuck around, then like the problem is I gotta like figure out how to like record all that shit. And honestly, like I just like playing this video game. I don't want to do a bunch of work.
My buddies, buddies just like threw this out. The cost is it's a Costco meme. And it's really good. It's all about taking the coin to $1.50 to match the hot dog price.
That's funny.
Okay. And then somebody released 99 cents, which is homage to Arizona iced teas. So I mean, I don't know. I was just really bullish.
So it's all about the Costco.
Yeah, $1.50 deals.
That's funny.
So some of these memes, I mean, obviously some of them are ridiculous, but some of these memes are really hilarious.
No, I completely agree. Like some of the stuff is really creative. I really like some of those things. The Elizabeth Horan, fuck yeah, man, like, that's awesome, right?
Yeah, I'm really bullish. I don't even know if it's dropped, but I'm definitely gonna bid RFK Jr. if it comes out. Somebody drops that, like some like Rupert, like F. Genity or something, like whatever. I'm definitely gonna bid that. I also think that the Trump and Biden tokens, I mean, they dipped a little bit today, but as the election starts to pick up, I think they're kind of no-brainers as well. If anybody's playing on Solana, I think, you know, just take a small punt on them. Why not?
It's like the Trump. It's called Trump, right? Isn't there one?
Tremp. T-R-E-M-P.
Tremp. Dude, there's also a Trump token, which is like some of the guys were shilling when they got in really early, and they're like, getting this thing early, guys. It's going to be
there's great. An everything token on. There's a Trump with that. Yeah. There's Trump with hat. There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right.
Yep.
And then you've also got the DJT token. Another
DJT. That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, that's the stock, though, right?
It'll probably run. All this stupid stuff I'm doing is probably going to be like nothing compared to how that shit runs, right?
Yeah, but it's like obviously it's like, well, it's a matter of like if these are things that you throw like a really small amount of money at. What's your move here? I know there's some people
Right.
throwing 50K. I mean, I see somebody threw 50K in on a trade today, and it went to a mil. But you know, you're taking a lot of risk of washing 50K. So everyone's got a different way of looking at this. I wouldn't do that. I think that's insane. But kudos, I mean, awesome for him. I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah. No.
Real quick, Steffi.
Occasionally, you'll have that someone, like aping hard into something and do really well, and you're like, holy shit! But the vast majority of people that do that are going to get wrecked.
That ICP, the internet computer, they are announced that they're dabbling with AI. That's why.
Of course they did. Every project should say that they're dabbling with AI. Like, doesn't matter who it is. For no apparent reason, they should do it.
Was a .com rush, right? Everybody just added .com. It didn't have to make any sense.
More Cosmos chain should be doing it. I think Juno should completely just become the AI chain. It would help Juno, but. Anyways,
Cosmos is funny is that they get to every narrative last. That's the problem.
Yes.
This is truth. This is the truth. Yeah. always.
All right. Until next time, Steffi, I'm going to step out.
Yeah, catch you later, man. Catch you later.
Steffi, do you hold any Atom token long term or no?
Yeah, I've got some.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to continue to hold it and accumulate, or are you just holding what you got?
It's just sitting there and like earning the yield or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't have anything like. Now, it's done okay if you consider that, like, my average is under 10, and I earned, like, probably 20 to 40% or more extra tokens. No, like, 40% plus extra tokens over the last several years. So
from staking, but you've also gotten airdrops just by staking it, right?
Yeah, there's airdrops. There's also just like the fact that the yield on it is part of the actual market cap in a sense. So these are staking tokens where like they don't make sense unless you own them long term. And they don't make sense if you don't include the staking yield returns as part of your overall plan. Like they're not great momentum trade type tokens. This would be like Polkadot, be like Atom and stuff like that. They're meant for staking, and that's the primary purpose. And they're not necessarily built for number go up in the same way that. So I don't know. Yeah, it's been fine only because I held it for so many years. That was the basic bottom line to it. But is it like the bull market choice to buy right now? Probably not.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I was just curious if you were still holding it, because I know you guys, been all about the Cosmos chain.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Cosmos Hub coin and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Yeah, I mean, its chart is not too bad right now in the sense that, like, it's very similar to where, like, Ethereum Classic and a few other things are. So could it run hard really fast and, like, take over by surprise? I think it's quite possible.
Yeah, me too. I think it's one of those coins that's a sleeper and it could just rip out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, its chart looks very similar to like where it was like, I don't know, at various points in like 2020, 2021, where like you wouldn't have automatically expected it to rip as it did, and yet there it went, right? It's one of those things. Atom tends to run also when BTC tends to run. So it's seems like liquidity is tied strongly to Bitcoin for some reason. So, you know, its next run to like $20 or $28, whatever, will probably coincide with BTC. Now, what it might not do, though, is it might not put in a new high versus BTC or something like that because it's so inflationary. So anyway, it's an interesting coin. Inflationary coins are those that like you really should not hold them long term at all unless you're going to stake them. They're completely pointless in that respect. So it's a weird. One of the ways you can know that Atom's going to pump, by the way, is when most of the coins are staked. So last season, what happened is as the staking ratio went up, you're like look, there's not that much token left out there, and most of it's staked. Then it's like jump in and buy and then it's going to run. It also can be, it was also a top signal as well when the yield had dropped a lot. So when the yield drops to the, like, because the way Atom works is the more people that are staking it, the more the relative yield per person goes down. So you can tell when the fucking thing's topping out because like the max number of buyers, the max number of stakers arrive, they've driven the staking yield down. And now you know it's time for you to get the fuck out. Like, so there's
are you actively monitoring the yield now, or are you not barely paying attention to it?
I haven't been paying attention to it because it's just not anywhere near. Yeah. Like, yeah, like I think Total Threes needs to run like the next 6 months. Yeah. Then it's like reassess that. And, do you decide to unstake somewhere in that point? I think so. I think like if you're intending to sell some of your bags of Atom, like maybe watch the market, but like, if everything's running and Total 3 is running and Atom's running, and about 3 months from now, I think it'd be not a bad time to unstake it with the intention to get rid of it, when the time comes, and then you can buy back lower at some future date.
Is there any narrative that you're looking at for Cosmos in the future, or just you're just generally bullish on the chain?
Well, Cosmos Hub is the Atom token.
Right.
It doesn't have any. Like it has interchain security and some like it has basically the ability that you can add like side chains to it. And there are a couple of those, Neutron and Stride and what else? I don't know. There's a few side chains on it. I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure. Like, yeah, I don't really know, man. Like they have a lot of interesting tech stuff with Cosmos.
Yeah.
The question is, is that tech necessary? B, are people going to come to use that tech? And the people are going to come use that tech. Are they going to build some real world connectivity to this thing? So finally, you're not trading anything but like more and more and more shit coins. I don't know. Like, this is the problem. What I haven't seen really intensely is enough new Cosmos chains that like do something in the real world. And I think that's true of all of crypto, but in particular, like Cosmos app chains are the easiest way for an external company to build their own blockchain. Right. And only a few companies have attempted to do this, which makes me wonder, like, have they built this product that nobody wants? Is something that you have to really wonder. That could be argued for all of crypto, though. Like, I was on some spaces earlier today, and like they were like touting some like Ethereum layer 3, and I guess it's on Arbitrum or something. And the idea was, well, we have layer 1s and we have layer 2s to get a little bit more execution speed, and those are centralized sequencers. And then now you have a layer 3, which, because we need to have, like, you know, we need to have execution that is not tied to the programming language of Ethereum. We need an execution layer that like is free of the constraints of all of that. So then, like, you're creating all these different layers, and then who's going to be using these layers? Like, what are you using them for? Like, just more perps platforms, more trading, more shit coins? Like, is it just endless casino, or like what? And what you don't see very much of is a lot of real world asset type stuff happening. And I think that's why I think that's why my bullish case for Chainlink, basically. Like, that's my bet on TradFi, RWAs, and all that shit becoming gigantic and mainstream and tokenized. It's like a good idea to divide your bags up into like technology plays that you think are high credibility technologies that like 5 years from now you're going to be a winner. And then stuff that's just pure chart action, like I'm in it because I'm purely speculating on this shit and I think it's going to go up. And then there's the stuff that's like pure meme effect or whatever. And, you know, so I think each of these sectors has a different thesis that we play off of, the same way you were describing like meme coins on Solana or whatever, right? Like you're not in it for the tech there, for sure.
No, of course. It's obviously the narrative and the meme. So right now, that's what everything is, though, essentially. Obviously, Solana is the shitcoin hub right now. And I don't really see why you would trade shitcoins anywhere else. It's so easy, and it's just a smooth place to do it. Trading shitcoins on ETH sucks. it's garbage.
It's just too expensive, really, mainly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also...
And just, slow.
It's slow. And, like, you know, the interface for Solana is so nice, and, like, everything keeps getting upgraded. So I don't know. I don't really know how you compete with like the gambling sector. Solana is like perfect. And, you know, I feel like they took over the market. They've got the corner now. Obviously that could change, but you know, I'm not sure how many chains do we need to gamble on. Right.
Exactly. Like, yeah. How many casinos do you really need? It's like anything.
So the new narrative for ETH now is that like, it's going to be the RWA chain. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, so that has to work out. So that's the narrative for ETH right now. Narrative one is that we're going to get ETF. And narrative two is that, like, this is going to be the base for BlackRock's RWA profile, right?
Right. So, and they're connecting that. And they're creating the cross-chain compatibility with Chainlink. So they're building it on there, but with Chainlink in the background.
I'm with you on holding Chainlink long-term and just continuing to add on to it. It's a no-brainer play.
It's one of those bags that probably, like, if you don't fumble it over the long run, it probably will do pretty well. It may not, like, immediately pump, like, you know, the most or something like that. But even that, you never know. Like, it's actually good that there's a lot of FUD around Chainlink. Not FUD, but, like, oh, the price isn't going up like Sol did or whatever. Because then when it does move, then you've, like, people that have, like, sold and left, they can seethe about it and buy higher and stuff. Which is typical.
Well, also, if you're trying to allocate, like, you know, you really don't want the same action that Sol just had. You want to have a chance to get in if you're not already allocated. If you're completely allocated, then that's a different story. So there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to be grabbing the thing that's run the most anyway.
Link might be one of the best buys right now across the board.
Yep, I think it's. On average, I think that is correct. Like, if you just look at where the price is compared to the overall chart, how much more room in a bull market has to run, the relative, like, the bag holdability of it, meaning if you got stuck within a bear market, would you be fine? Yes. It ticks a lot of boxes, really. It's got the technology tick. It's got the price currently is acceptable tick, right? Like, it's got a lot of things going for it still at this price. I agree. So that's good, because like you want new people or even like whales who haven't gotten into it to be able to look at it and go, hey, this isn't too bad in terms of It hasn't pumped too much. In fact, its 200-day moving average for Link is like 1445 today, something like that. And the price is only 1890. And the 50-day moving average is where the price is now at about 19 bucks. So not bad. And its 200-day moving average is quite, you know, it turned upwards in October and has been pretty much a 45-degree angle or whatever on the log scale ever since. It doesn't look any different than it did in like 2020, early 2020, in terms of the 200-day moving average. And you know, does the bull market for Chainlink last as long as it did last season? Last season, like, let me see, from August 2019 all the way to August of 2021 is how long the Chainlink run lasted. It was 2 years. Does it do that again? I don't know. Like, you know, I kind of put some flag markers on all the way up to like $240 Chainlink. And if we continue the 200-day moving average of this trajectory, which is what happened last time, you might see something like $240 Chainlink happen, like late 2025, possibly, something like that, which is not bad. Anyway, but from here, the thing is, like, the downside risk is a factor too. If you say, well, the 200-day moving average for Chainlink is now 1440, let's say we take a dip to there. That's not too bad. It's like from 19 where it is now to 1440, not a big deal. It's doable. So I think it's, I don't know, it's sitting really comfortable. I don't worry about my Chainlink bag, even though it's really large. You know, I can go to sleep at night not worrying about it at all. That if it dips, it's going to go back up anyway. It always has, basically. So it's like there's no reason it won't continue to do so.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think I kind of agree with you that this is something that you may want to consider holding on long term and not placing as much of a speculative bet on it. Because, you know, the thing that sucks is that, you know, you can get a run up and, you know, you make a little bit of money. But if you don't reallocate to something that you believe in long term and you're not holding it in the future, that kind of sucks. And you feel like a jackass.
Yeah, you always feel like a jackass when some huge thing that you should have bought, you faded it and it went to infinity.
It's yeah, like, I just, for me, like, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, like, I'm going to grab some. I'm going to continue to add on to it. And then if it completely runs up, I'll give some back, but this is a token that I'll plan on holding on, at least always have some sort of allocation to that I'm getting in and out of. Just because I agree with you. I think this has probably one of the strongest narratives for the long term.
Yeah, and like even if someone's getting into it now, it could be one of those things where you do the same thing I just did with ICP. You buy like $100 worth of it. And then you just wait. And then if you get a dip, great. If you don't, you know, it moons without you, fine. No big deal. There's always other things. There's nothing that's like, you know, so powerful that you must own it, I guess. And it's really hard to tell sometimes, too. It's like the internet computer people will say, oh, we have the greatest, you know, greatest thing. It's going to be amazing. And then the Chainlink people say, oh, we have the latest, greatest thing. It's amazing. Then you have a whole bunch of different like RWBA issuers and they'll say, oh, we have the most amazing thing. Everyone's thing sounds really good. It's like only the long term tells you, like, do they really, are they the winner in this space or in any space? And there was definitely a lot of stuff during the .com era, for example, that like quite literally went to zero or just underperformed for very long periods of time. And their initial product was interesting or their pitch was really interesting. And it just turned out to be not a great investment long term. And there's other stuff that like practically went to zero, like Apple, for example. And yet here we are, right? Like it's really tough to sell with these things. But to me, like Link has some of the features that make you think of like an Amazon.com or an Apple where, like Link's shit, it doesn't actually require blockchains to succeed for it to work out. Like what they've built is a cross-chain computing platform communication layer, which is basically like the smart contracts of the internet kind of concept where you can connect things to Chainlink that have nothing to do with blockchain. That's the brilliant thing of this. It doesn't rely upon blockchain success and it doesn't rely upon any one blockchain to succeed. Like, so long as people keep adopting it and using it, more people are likely to adopt it and use it. And that's the end of it. So it's developing the network effect of that connectivity seems to be its forte. But I don't think it's going to be one of those things like the lay public is going to fully understand. So it might not catch a whole lot of bids for that reason. It may not get as much retail money pouring in. I'm not sure. Like back in 2019, 2020, like the big thing was like the Reddit people attached the Pepe meme to Chainlink and fucking ran with it, which is interesting. So back then you had a really strong meme effect. You had Oracle. Oh, everyone buy the new Oracle protocol. And then everyone was posting Pepe memes everywhere. And that was the whole thing with the Linkies and the, you know, they got their little chain, you know, cube and all that shit. I don't know if you remember all those things, but like,
I remember those little Marines.
If anything, like what's weak is that a lot of blockchains, including Link, have not played a great meme game, honestly. I don't know why that's changed, by the way. Do you think like people have just become either less creative or more lazy, or we just have a generation of people that's different? But remember, like BTC memes were like when Lambo, and like there'd be fucking rockets everywhere, and like the Bitcoin meme game was really, really hot for a lot of years. And then like, I don't know, it seems like maybe people got too saturated with memes, so like memes stopped being funny, or maybe like people ran out of funny shit to say, or I don't know what happened.
Well, like, I mean, we do have shitcoins now, and there's no shortage of those. But
that's also true.
These markets really evolved. I mean, those memes were really like, those were, that was the bull post thing, right? You know, it was people trying to get attention and bring people into the industry. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, CT is a huge meme. I mean, all these accounts are huge memes. So it's there. It just, I guess it's different. It's evolved now. It's grown. I guess it's like a bigger thing and not so like locally centralized. But I agree with you though. It's, you know, it's evolved. It's changed.
For sure. Like for sure, the Luna community had really good memes and stuff.
Dude, the Luna community was one of one, man. Such a sad thing.
Yeah, that crowd was like a lot of fun. And we still have a lot of those friends, like, you know, CryptoRS and like, you know, PB and all these people that made all sorts of funny fucking like videos and like whatever, like, you know, the face changing videos and all the funny shit. Had a like really, really good time with this kind of, you know, bullshit everyone was posting and retweeting it, and like, and they were like genuinely funny shit too. And I feel like a lot of chains don't have a great meme game, and that's like, that's a detriment to those chains. It's like, it's funny how many millions and millions of dollars get flowed in because of some funny stupid jokes and stuff that have nothing to do
with it. A lot of these chains now are trying to, you know, they're actually trying to, or at least attempting to try to sell you the concept that, you know, we're a serious thing, you know, like we're going to be, you know, we're going to be something that's implemented, and it's, we're going to be globally spreading versus, you know, buy it, number go up, right? So I think that like also the industry's a little like trying to shift a little bit and mature a bit as well. And I mean, you know, do you want memes around when
What did you think about? But what did you think about the laser eyes movement for Bitcoin? Did you like that, or you didn't care for it?
I mean, I think it was fine. I mean, again, like Bitcoin really needs that, because what's the selling point for Bitcoin, right? Like you kind of have it's the original meme coin, right?
It was more like rocket to the moon, and it was like you know, you'd had happening memes, and then you had a whole bunch of people posting shit about Lambos, which is very funny. Like that was kind of pretty typical then. The laser eyes thing was different though. Did you like the vibe of that or not? I'm not sure I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, well, the laser eye thing at first was, so I'm trying to think back, like what was the start of it? Because the start of the laser eye thing was just like Bitcoiners that like weren't huge accounts, but it ended up like in the end of it, like it evolved into like Tom Brady having laser eyes, you know, whoever had laser eyes was a narc, you know, they were feds essentially.
So I don't remember who
shit movement, but
I don't remember.
I agree with you. Like I never had laser eyes. Right. And like, I didn't either. I mean, I came into all of this as a Bitcoiner, you know, like the way I learned about it is that my girlfriend at the time, like she had a friend that was a computer scientist and he was like, buy Bitcoin. And she told me about it, and I got orange pilled. And then just being around long enough and like seeing people make a bunch of money on like these like other things. And I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on over here? So I think that's also obviously like it's stolen a lot of thunder from Bitcoin. Like there's tons of people that came in as Bitcoiners, and like now they're investing in other things and they're interested in other stuff, because like until the last year, what has been the narrative of Bitcoin other than like store of value, you know, like whatever, yeah. Right?
That's pretty much it. I mean, basically, the laser eyes thing was kind of like, to me, indicative of people who are basically a maxi. It became like a maxi signal more than anything.
True. Yeah.
And I don't know that like that helps that much, because the theory was, oh, stay away from all these other things, they're going to go to zero. But that doesn't make any sense either, because like that's like saying that like the only purpose of cryptography was BTC, and this is simply not the case. So it's an absurd even fiction to even consider that. So it seems like you're an intellectual imbecile at some level if like you're just a pure maxi, because it doesn't make any sense. Like there's tons of tech you can build out of crypto, and by the way, there's tons of tech that people are willing to put money into and spend money on that has nothing to do with store of value or BTC or whatever. So it like never actually made sense that you would want to be a maxi, except to say like, oh, go buy BTC so my bags will go up in value, right? Like it became this thing where it's like, yeah, we get it, you bought Bitcoin early and therefore you want other people to buy your bags.
And it also made people genuinely look evil, right? These red eyes.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's true too. It had like some people probably don't like the vibe of that shit. Yeah.
And then wasn't that meme of Biden that came out with him with the red eyes? That was like the last laser eyes we got.
Yeah, that was like from the Twitter account or whoever runs the Biden thing.
I'm actually okay with that one though. That kind of looked based. He looked good. He needed that.
The old man would suddenly get laserized. He's like Terminator 2.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, base, man. He's going to really need that. Like, so he's going to give you another 4 years. They're going to have to start implanting things into him and make him a robot. Dude, Biden 2.0, the robot, would be kind of based.
Yeah, it's like released by, like, instead of, like, it's like the Tesla, what do you call it, the Optimus robot?
That's a real use case for Neuralink.
Yeah, that would be interesting. To build a president.
That would be so interesting if like they did that. If they were just like, all right, man, like you've got 4 years in here. Like we're just gonna blast you with this thing and let's fucking do it, bro.
That'd be funny, like if there's a president that's like augmented like a motherfucker. Like he's got like robot eyes and he's got like a Neuralink mouse controller and he's got all this shit. Like that'd be very cool.
Especially for Biden, because like the last 4 years, like essentially he just got completely dunked on. So if he were to like actually this would occur, and if he wins, and if like all of this just happens overnight, and we have an AI president, like that we didn't expect, like we're not obviously right now it's like Biden Trump, like two old guys, like they both have a bunch of baggage, and like no one's really happy. But like let's say like they say like all right, like we're gonna implant a chip in Biden, and like we're just gonna completely AI this guy, and he's like throws in the towel, he's like yeah, I'm like done anyway, you know, like I'm like at the end of the road, so do whatever you want to me. And we just have an AI president in 2044. That would be fucking insane. And also incredibly bullish.
The bullish Biden AI president.
Bullish Biden.
That's funny. Like, what else could we possibly need except a robot?
I mean, I mean, obviously, like, you know, this is a little, you know, a bit of an odd situation that he's in. So I don't know. It just feels like it's like a perfect opportunity for him. Like, let's say, for instance, he falls, like really it's possible. Like, it's just the reality is it could happen to any of us. Like, he is an old guy. And to be honest, like if you can even reach that age, I think that's a good accomplishment. So that's a good thing. But to be running for president is pretty insane. So if like I'm in this position, if they were to tell me like, hey, listen, like we can do this, this and this. And I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Sign me up for it. Like, you're the president of the United States. Like, don't you want to give it your all? I don't know, man.
Give it your all.
Come on, man.
On a side note, I was talking to a guy yesterday, his family friend, and he was he is in neuroscience research. He basically does work modeling brain tissue modeling in sort of like small scale brain tissue, like cell culture type things. To model different neurologic disease and neurologic behavior and stuff. And I was covering with him like some of the various AI developments in proteomics and different things that are out there. And it's interesting that like even people in science careers just have no fucking idea how much AI stuff has come about. And in terms of not only what Neuralink did, but like the depth of the capabilities of this. And this is a guy who's like, who's in a major institution doing, you know, neuroscience research kind of stuff and doesn't realize how much is out there. Man, like the normie crowd is going to get the wake up call of their fucking lives in the next 5 years. Holy fucking shit. Like even the people in the industry have no idea what's about to happen. I'm just like,
I think that
people like, are going to revolt and fucking like picket in the streets and shit. Watch
the grain of salt. Like take of this is just like computers and email and like phones becoming like completely abundant and boomers that were not tech savvy, like having to figure all this out, especially during COVID, like struggling. This is going to be that times a million, like times a fucking million.
Like, oh yeah.
The way that things are going to change and how quickly things are going to move. And the fact that the majority of people are completely out of the loop as to like what the people that are in the know have no idea where we're going. Never mind the people that have no idea what's going on. So I agree with you. I think that we're in for a wild ride coming up.
And I mean, what do you think? We're going to have like people like rioting in the streets in 10 years, bitching about their jobs and whatever the fuck else. I have a feeling there that we are. Like the disruption is going to be so ridiculous. It's like, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you from at least from the manufacturing side, it's going to be disastrous for like really unskilled workers. You know, they're completely obsolete in a very short time frame. I'd say less than 5 years on a worldwide scale.
Just from what you're seeing in the industry so far.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's crazy.
Interesting. Like which types of manufacturing you're talking about? Like small scale or like automotive?
Everything that involves some sort of manual manipulation. You know. It's like what we have seen automation before was right, super rigid. Everything had to be exactly in the right spot for a gripper to work. And now you have this, you know, just with the visual systems that you have coming up, it's going to be like a human, you know. You can put one part in whatever shape or whatever it is in front of the machine, and after a day, it gets it, you know. Like an unskilled worker, you train them for a day, and then they work 24/7.
Yeah.
More or less.
Interesting.
And there are more difficult things probably where it doesn't go that easy, like sewing and making shoes and stuff like that. That's a little bit more complicated because you really have to feel the material. So there's some haptics involved. But anything that just needs simple manipulation, it's going to be like super weird, especially because you can cover now these lower quantity areas as well, right? Before automation was basically if you make a phone, right, and you have a quantity of, let's say, I'll put like 20,000 pieces a day, you get a full automated line, right, or even a 10,000 pieces. But if you go anywhere like less than 500,000 a year, it doesn't work. It doesn't compute, you know, the figures doesn't do it, you know. But with this AI things, You can do it because, well, it might be slower than this fully automated line like they are now today, but it's definitely going to work. You know, it's definitely going to save you a shit ton of money and you're going to get all the business, you know. I mean, you're just going to concentrate it like hell. You're going to steal everyone's business. That's just it.
I think the thing is, like, the question always becomes, like, at the different levels of, like, intellectual scales. Like you have people that work odd jobs that are simple things like, you know, janitorial services, or maybe you have like people that work at like, you know, whatever, cashiers and different things. And obviously most of that stuff is like slowly going away. Then what do those people do? So like there's on the upper end, it's like, what do people that do cognitive work as their workload goes down, what do they do? And there's what do the dimwits do and what do the midwits do? Like in all of this scale, like there's going to be different levels of like disruption. And I wonder, like, are people going to be like, oh, stop AI, it's taking our jobs or whatever. Or it's not even possible. Like right now, you don't see anyone picketing about robots in factories, for example. People aren't like, take robots out of factories. You want to build cars by hand again. But what happens when they're entirely run by robots? Do people just get used to it, I guess? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we just have to build more casinos, I guess.
You know? More crypto casinos?
Yeah, if you go to certain countries, you have these gambling halls everywhere, you know?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, you need everyone involved for an economy to work. So if these corporations are going to pivot, obviously, and do what's best for the corporation, which is the bottom line, and invest in this new technology, and that's going to involve firing a bunch of people. But how are those people going to generate income to buy these products and to use these services? So they're going to have to figure out a way to keep the equilibrium intact, where we do have an economy where we don't have a complete breakdown. Because if these big corporations are just doing this, like, who's going to buy this stuff if nobody has jobs, right? The CEO of the company, right? I mean, he's going to be the one buying his own products. That doesn't really work out really well.
I think it comes down to production rate. You can't, like, bust out enough automated machines to replace workers as is at the moment. The main thing that I've been focusing on, as I've been seeing everything evolve, on the automation side, and I've done automation myself with visual interfaces. What I've learned is basically just pick up hobbies. Like, your best thing right now is just to pick up a hobby of any sort and get really autistic about it. Like, just really, like, dig into it. I picked up welding. I picked up, apparently I have a race team now. I'm just going all over the place with the stuff that I want to do and I can do. And the thing is that I can actually verbalize things and break the concepts down, because I did a lot of mentoring for underserved youth before in STEM. So I just kind of, I'm just talking to people, and I'm meeting people every day. A lot of the people that I've met, they have I met this homeless dude a while back, and I was in the city, and I just like saw that he was kind of spurging out, and I asked him what he was up to. And then I just told him, hey, just start talking to the chat GPT, to the GPT, the AI machine. And I told him, I wrote it down for him, chat GPT. And then I haven't seen him since, but I'm hopeful that everyone that I've been telling to, log on and like start like doing stuff, that they're kind of like, more networked in, I guess, able to understand that the future is going to be bright. A lot of people seem like to be scared of all this AI stuff, or at least fear-based, when I just basically see it as because I work in, I'm still in the in industrial, I work in an industrial facility in a welding fabrication company. And the main thing that I've noticed that I believe is going to happen, and I had this epiphany a while back, but I'm going to be able to see like full on retards in these like industrial areas able to do something, or at least walk around and not like be worried and actually suggest something. And might seem like, why would he say that? Or like, kind of dumb, but then kind of like some of the silliest ideas end up being the brightest things, because they just kind of make things, it's kind of like a duh moment. Like, why weren't you doing that? So, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be way more fun, overall. And there's
it's not necessary that it's kind of a bad future, it's just like we have to rethink what we do with people that have more spare time, I guess.
That's the thing. I believe there's going to be more time, like a lot of people spend a lot of their time doom scrolling. I talk to my coworkers a lot. One of them, I always send pictures now, like all these pictures that I found in esoteric Twitter. And like, I just kind of like expand his mind. He like likes it a lot. And now his art has increased. Like, he like paints these murals and stuff, and they're just more like more complex. So, and then his, the art that he's been diving now on his, TikTok and I guess Facebook or whatever medium he uses has gotten more, he's getting more into the AI stuff. So, and actually he got promoted, so I'm guessing it's going well for him. Free time, I guess it really comes down to doing something. I mean, a lot of people, everyone has free time. I mean, like, if you don't have free time,
I mean, look at Sefi, he runs a hospital, and he doodles around here on Twitter Spaces for 9 hours a day.
I mean, okay, that is a completely different job though. Like, Sefi is a doctor. And he is pretty, but he's a very grounded individual. I mean, who else here is like in the medical industry? I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are maybe adjacent. Cause I was thinking about nurses the other day, like they have a shit ton of time on their hands when they're not doing anything. So more than likely, I'm not sure if you guys have looked up like the Simons, psychology, career psychology, like the way that they basically have learning modules and people that are basically integrated inside of like the same learning infrastructure, where the more modules and or learning you're doing and you have hands-on practice, the more it starts to basically like funnel you towards other people that are in that same kind of specialty group. And then you're basically able to kind of like formulate and bounce off ideas with each other. So which is what we did in Twitter anyway. We all kind of clustered into like CT Twitter, or you know, esoteric Twitter, or like health fitness Twitter. And you can see these echo chambers. The echo chambers are they're not bad themselves. They're just like giant ass Venn diagrams. And you basically are able to traverse these universes and then basically find people that you are able to expand with or, you know, move on from primarily. So yeah, like a lot of people, yeah, they don't have time, maybe because their job is very demanding, but what will end up happening is that they will have more free time. Or at least their free time that they do have will be maximized with something else, something that is more streamlined for them to basically like process and do later on. You know, they're going to find fun somehow. Eventually you get burnt out if you're not doing it, trying to find an outlet.
Bullish.
Yeah, I'm very bullish. Like the other day I was like processing this piece of steel, and I was like, dude, like I could finally like get, you know, like a camera. And I was looking at cameras today too. It was like, I could finally like kind of like figure out like a stochastic like chamber, right? Where I'm able to see how the dust spreads when it's impacted and like the steel punches through the plate. And I was like, dude, there's like a random, I just basically, like in my mind, I basically rotated a bunch and I was like, oh, I have a random number generator from all the dust that would come out from like the steel punching this iron piece, or basically what can be done to like, you know, maximize the actual waste product that comes from this. Cause there's just a bunch of steel everywhere, like steel dust or iron dust. And then there's like iron slugs. So there's just like a bunch of stuff. And now you could just basically, if it, like you were, Noob was saying earlier, like you basically have camera system or, you know, like a pattern recognition system and be like, hey, I'm going to grab all these little slugs and I want to basically weld them together or somehow put them together so that they look a certain way, and then have the actual machine vision system kind of tune that for you. So you can basically like take a picture of a vase and be like, take these little like 3-4 millimeter slugs, you know, like these little slugs that I'm talking about, they're like little punches. They're like, imagine, you know, when you make a paper hole punch and the little paper hole punches that are left, I call those slugs. So imagine those are basically about 2 millimeters wider or 3 millimeters wider than they are, you know, when it's a sheet of paper. And, so you have a bunch of those, or you could just do, you know, and, able to have the machine, you know, take a picture of it, then have the machine basically canvas that onto like a mesh over another kind of like, say a vase, and they'll be able to show you what it would look like. You know, it just comes down to basically learning how to prompt the computer too. Yeah, I'm really bullish. I'm over here like, I feel like my wizardry has increased like 1,000-fold. Especially when it comes to like my niche ideas, like a lot of the stuff that I thought I was like a loony bin about it, like far out concepts. I'm like, oh, these things are not that far out. You know, I just kind of like was either wording it incorrectly, or I was not like, I was not using, I guess, like a grounded theory, like a curl theory in mathematics of some sort. So yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone here is pretty much gonna, if you take the time to create something and or you feel passionate about something, I believe right now, like if you have something that you want to do at this very second, you should basically log out of Twitter X and just start fucking doing it. Like you just type into Bing and just start going at it. You know, if you have like a circuit board or, you know, some, I don't know, something that broke a while back and you just want to fix it, you could do that right now. Like this is like the moment for you to just go for it, and then you can come back on the timeline and just start posting about it. Like, oh, this is what I discovered.
There's no question, like tech enables certain things for sure. So like all the bullish cases for AI are really obvious. It's the negatives that are actually much less obvious. And that's the hard part, because the societal disruption piece of it is the tougher part to predict. And so far, and I bring this up every, like all the time, is that the conglomeration of like the entirety of science and technology, or let's just call it modernity, like the modern world as it is, has this weird side effect of people having less kids. So like every modern society is dropping off.
It's about robot girlfriends. I knew
it. Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, so while you could assume that, like, okay, science and technology have a lot of cool outcomes, like, you know, my car and my, you know, all the different things I own in my house and like playing on my phone and everything else. Interestingly, it has this indirect effect of like extinguishing civilization in a way that you would not have predicted it to happen. Like, so it's like modernity in total results in this. It's not like one specific thing or the other. It's not like, oh, birth control pills did this, or, you know, certain political philosophy did this, or, you know, just simply women in the workplace did this, or whatever. It's like the totality of all of it leads to this outcome. And does the change in our workflow and our pace of work and other things related to, say, AI, does that reverse that cycle where people actually have more time to have children? And if they did, first of all, even if you had more time, there's no guarantee that people are going to have, you know, right now you need an average of 3 kids for every single woman in the entire, like West, in the industrialized world, just to keep up right now. We're already too late.
Yeah, just have to, I build a clone bot for you.
Steffi, what's
no, it's not, it, the clone bots don't solve the problem of extinction, though. This is the other problem. Like, you have to have a minimum number of children to actually have the civilization survive.
What? So you're saying it's 3, and what's the average right now?
Well, like, the average that you need to have, like, civilization survive is about 2.4 is the estimation. And that's assuming a world that's relatively stable. If you have a world that has, like, a major crisis, like you know, then it could be worse. Say, for example, you know, a meteor strike or something, you know, like, then it's a lot worse. You have to have way more children to survive. But in the modern world, it's like 2.4. Right now, like, in much of the Western world, that number has dropped sub like 1.8.
Jesus, I need to get to work.
In South Korea, it's dropped down to 0.65 or something like that, is the most recent stat that just came out the other day. Which means
0.7 something, like,
or what, like, is it? What is?
I was thinking it was like 7 something, 0.7 something. But yeah,
no,
that's a terrible number, though.
No, all kids don't. Number one, all children that are born don't have kids. That's the first thing. The second thing, all children that are born are not going to have survived to the age of making it to have kids. So it's not like a one-to-one thing. It's definitely like 2.4 and above, because diseases and things can still kill you, right? So, yeah, it's interesting. The whole concept is interesting, but...
That rate's just since very recently, right? The replenishment rate. I mean, like 50 years ago, it must have been like 4-point-something on the worldwide scale.
Yeah, I don't know the exact... Yeah, I don't know what the exact numbers are. It's probably different for each civilization, too. Like Africa, sub-Saharan Africa may be much higher or whatever. Who knows? But the thing, my point is, like, the conglomeration of all of science and technology has led to an interesting sociologic outcome with humans, and that's to have less kids. And every argument you make, online or otherwise, that suggests what the actual problem is, nobody likes the answer. Which is why the birth rates keep plummeting. For example, if you were to point out, technically speaking, women are supposed to be having children after puberty. Like, that's the biological
norm. But isn't it just the suppression of the sex drive to a point?
Well, there's a whole different... I mean, you can make a whole book of the different reasons, but like simple way to look at it is this. If you are spending time doing other things... Like, in other words, not having children, you're doing other things, any other things besides having children, then that is something that takes away from the time you would otherwise have to have them. So, for example,
but I mean, like monkeys work like, okay, whatever gives us dopamine, that's what we look for. Like, that's our motivation. If there's something that's equal or better than sex and more easy to get and has less like downsides, well, you know, it's just what it is.
Even
right?
Sex, the amount of sex has gone down. Yeah, that's gone down dramatically just because of like the internet.
I mean, that's a necessity for the birth rate, right?
It's part of it. But my point is, all of it in total is basically causing extinction. So whether it's the invention of the television set, which then led to the invention of, you know, and then telephones, and then like smartphones, and then, you know, internet porn, and all, there's layer and layer of this. Like, and any one thing is probably not going to be the entirety of it. But the point is, in the aggregate, it's not going very well. So the only thing, like my pushback to the AI being fine thing, because AI represents one more thing that human beings are going to spend a lot of time using. And that means you're not spending time with someone of the opposite sex doing something which keeps a civilization alive, which is actually having kids. Interestingly, women technically are able to have kids from upwards of basically like once, you know, essentially puberty begins. And for most of human history, that's actually when people started having kids. With modern civilization and with this idea that everyone should get an education and, you know, women should all go to the workplace and stuff, women generally have been pushing off further and further the age at which people have their first kid. So, you know, like in modern America, if you have a kid under the age of, let's say 18, it's going to be like, oh, well, you're just a teen pregnancy. What are you doing? You're going to end your career is going to be terrible. And that's true. You're going to have a bad career. You're probably going to be poor. And there is an outcome societally to having kids early, and that is essentially a bad economic outcome. And as a result, like, the incentive is not to have kids. Kids have now become a liability, not a asset, generally speaking. It costs you a lot of money to have one, and they don't benefit your personal life financially like they would if you had a farm and you had to have a bunch of kids and, you know, whatever, or you had to have a bunch of children to defend the farm or something like that.
I believe that's going to change. That's actually what I've been thinking about, because I don't have a kid.
You think AI is going to flip this and make people have more kids?
Yes, I actually believe so. And the reason is because, all right, so I've been looking at people very differently. I'm like, this is kind of like the theory that I came online with like a few years back, was we're going to have kids later and later in life, and the gestation period is going to increase. So we're going to have like these mega mind babies, or at least very like, we're going to be able to play with the gestation period of women in order to increase it from like 9 months to 10 months. And that we're going to be able to basically produce children that are basically more acclimated to this new society that we're basically building. So it really comes down to, and not,
but you're, just, but you're missing the point. Like, you just can't, your civilization will be dead by then.
Well,
like,
no, I mean,
you have to have the minimal
right
replacement.
I'm saying it's happening right now. And the reason I'm saying this is because, the youth,
well,
right?
You need a lot of genetic mutations for gestation to go from 9 to 10 months. It's not just something you might, I mean, well, you could pump someone full of hormones to keep the baby.
At the physiognomy of the teens right now, like 15 and 14, you know, from 14 to 20 years old,
the woman still had the kids at 9 months.
They look,
know,
really different from my youth, like from when I was in high school. Like, they all look different, and I asked myself, like, okay, do you see this? And they themselves are like, yeah, I see that. I look different. I look younger. And I'm like, yeah. So I believe that we're gonna start living a longer life.
I'm a physician. They don't look any different to me. That the only difference in America that's happened in the last 30 years, everyone's gotten fucking fat.
Oh.
like okay, big time.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. Okay, so, you nailed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fat.
Americans are the fattest fucking morons. Like, all of you people out here that are fat, lose some fucking weight. Like, that's that simple. Like, we're all just too fat. Is it really?
Hey, man, I figured out a use case for some of these chains. We can use this to fund me to go through my Adonis Khan phase, and I'll impregnate the world.
There you go.
Sponsored by Coach Bruce and Seffi.
That's an actual copy pasta, by the way, where like a dude, like you're able to have like your fiefdom like in modern age. So imagine like you're in New York City and you're like, okay, this fucking block right
I am in New York City.
Adonis has to inseminate so many people that he's like he's actually losing weight because he has to produce so much
semen. Yeah, I'm no longer a fat American.
Yeah, so you need to start bulking up, bro. You got to get thick, real thick, real fast.
Dude, I'm sick. I'm 6'6" and thick, bro.
And then you got to start eating a lot of that sunflower lecithin, so you can, you know, what's that? So your coombs are big, bro.
Dude, Steffi's gonna hook me up to a bunch of machines and take all my blood, and he's gonna keep me in optimal health. And Coach Bruce is gonna teach me how to get all the girls, and it's over, man. Every kid in the future is gonna be son of Adonis, as it was written.
You're like Genghis Khan.
Let's go, dude. We're gonna go in the books.
No, but like, there's a lot of interesting. Like biological outcomes. And I'm curious, like, if the totality of science and technology led to this outcome for birth rates, like for this to materially change with AI and stuff, somehow your children would have to become an asset, not a liability again. It's that simple. Like, it can't be as expensive to have kids. What's that?
I think they're actually assets. Like, I actually believe Google should be paying, like, you know, the Chromebooks. Like in Cali, when I'm like, I had left already high school by then, but everyone got Chromebooks. And I was like, my first thought was like, they're just harvesting me for my algorithm, right? So now when I see kids with like an iPhone or whatever they're playing with, I'm like, they should be getting paid because they're basically grooming an AI. Like they're grooming their own kind of like.
There was some posts that South Korea was paying people to have kids. Like some of the companies were like $75,000.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to afford
yeah,
that.
No, so yeah, I believe that it's like I believe that that's the actual model that's going to come out. It's like, hey, like we want you to be parents, and we are going to pay you. Like you're going to go to the Apple Store, and they're going to give like you're going to go to the Apple Store, and instead of buying a phone, they're going to give you a paycheck to have like sex there on the spot.
Yeah, but the trouble with these sort of like perverse incentives is they create perverse outcomes, meaning. Like you think you're going to basically solve one problem, but then you create a very different one. It's like the one child.
It's a lot cheaper to just, you know, it's just a lot cheaper to open the borders at the moment.
Yeah, but opening the border, all that's happening is you're getting middle-aged people. It's not solving this problem at all. So what happened to Canada, for example, is you have this gigantic middle-aged bubble, and then their problem is going to be even worse because like they have even less kids to take all these middle-aged people that are going to get older. And now you just got a bunch of.
Oh, I'm not for it. You know, I think it's a stupid idea just to refill the work pool, the labor pool.
Well, there's a simple outcome that will happen is that the old folks are just going to basically die faster because they have no one to take care of them. Like that's one of the outcomes that will actually happen. Like right now in healthcare, you can't find any people to do the work anymore. Like there's not enough labor for it. Just so interesting.
Yeah, it's just less money to go around between the healthcare insurance, right? And
yeah, there'll just be less money people. To go around, and then basically more people just die, and that's just normal. So yeah, you'll get regression of some things, like in the modern world, you'll certainly get some regression when it comes to drop in population. Like, look at South Korea as a good example. At a 0.65 situation, they literally South Korea has to do nothing but have children right now. They literally right now have to have everyone in South Korea stop working and start having babies right now before having them go extinct. Otherwise, within a couple of generations, North Korea will just walk in and take them.
Have they talked about it or started offering, $85K for a kid?
No, what happened was some companies were doing this. They posted, there was recently on some journal, news article or whatever. I don't know exactly how true it is and how impactful that is, but the point is it's too late. The nation itself, like basically, and I haven't watched the show, what's it called? Handmaid's Tale or whatever. Apparently that's something about this sort of concept. And I'm not like some kind of, you know, I don't know that like demanding everyone do it's going to work either, by the way, because like the one child policy had its consequences. Enforcing things has a different set of consequences. But my suspicion is the modern world as we live it today, we're going to see a drastic decline in quality of life as it pertains to like just the amount of labor and just hell, the number of people to fix the shit that's already broken in your countries. Like it doesn't matter where you live. The reality is we built all of our stuff with the assumption, buildings, roads, plumbing, whatever it is, that someone else is going to come fix that shit later. If you don't have enough babies, guess what? Your plumbing and everything else in your town starts to decay. Your airplanes start to fall apart. Everything goes to shit because you don't have enough people, pure and simple. And you can bring in immigrants and randoms or whatever, but that doesn't solve the problem entirely, because they're not necessarily going to have any more kids than the people that are already here.
It's also a skill issue too, right? Because these people aren't skilled in these
fields, they're not skilled in that either. Right. So what they're saying is that, like, specialized, the world of specialization ends as the population declines in number. You can't actually,
it's also super expensive to fix up these old homes, right? I mean, it's not that kind of cheap. I guess even in the US, if your roof's broken, how much does it cost you to fix it, right? You probably end up.
Yeah, the prices are truly skyrocketing right now as we speak.
Listen, I'm in the real estate field. I deal with construction and restoration in New York City. And I think that this is a better field if you are a worker than if in any other position. You can start out of high school, you can make $20 an hour as a helper, and in a couple of years, you could be 21 years old and you could be making 50, 60, 70, and if you're really good, even more dollars an hour. So, and you have no college debt. The problem is that no one young did it. And so right now there's a handful of young people that are doing it, and all the older people are retiring. They're physically unable to do it. These are taxing jobs. These aren't things that you can continue to do even if you're 70 and if you can walk around. Like, you need to have strength to do these jobs. And that's a huge problem, because there's more demand, especially in New York City. These buildings are getting older and older, and they need more and more attention. And there's less and less labor every single day. And so they think that bringing in immigration is going to solve this, but none of this labor is skilled. And this is not Home Depot construction. This is old construction that really needs actual skill, that takes decades to learn, not something that you're going to figure it out in a year. So certain situations and segments, like, are really fucked for sure. But anyway, I think that we're going to find ways to get out of them, but it's going to be tricky in the meantime.
Are there any kind of, like, modular parts that you can do? I mean, like a patch, you know, like when you get a hole in a tire and you basically, you know, stick a piece of metal in there to kind of, like, bore it out, add glue, and then patch it. I'm not saying do that with the roofs, but maybe like a carapace of some sort of aluminum, because I'm looking at this industrial building. I'm, like, literally in an industrial park right now, and I'm looking at these roofs. I'm pretty sure they're different from whatever you are looking at. But here, it just looks like I just got to get a piece of aluminum or some type of plastic and just kind of glue it on there, weld it on there, or bolt it down. And voila. Like, I'm guessing...
No, because well, first of all, when you mix disparate metals together, they react. So they decay. You have to, like... there's a whole metal science to this whole thing. But yeah, I have buildings with these metal roofs and everything else. But these things aren't as straightforward. My point is this, is like, yes, the human race will figure it out. But you'll have a lot of buildings and a lot of real estate and a lot of places going to disarray long before anyone figures shit out. And there's plenty of examples of this, like in America in particular, like where, you know, a tremendous amount of infrastructure is in decay, or like entire towns basically disappeared, right? Like, look at like areas of Detroit and stuff where,
We're going to end up with something like Lego houses, you know, modular houses, which can be easily replaced or remodeled.
Yeah.
Well, something like that. The obvious thing that's going to happen to America is the amount of square footage available per person blew way out of proportion to reality, like McMansions and like fucking excess retail square footage. All that shit needs to shrink by like literally 80%.
You know what another problem is that everything that's been built since the 50s is shot. And even the things that are being built now, they don't have a long lifespan. Most of these homes that are built with stick and fake stucco across the country, they all have mold in them and they're toxic houses.
Yeah, and also I think in the US particularly, you have pretty stretched out suburbs. So all the power lines, water pipes, and
everything is above ground.
That's like super expensive.
Like, I have a house in upstate New York, and every time, and I've, you know, it's the country, and every time there's any sort of storm, the power goes out because everything's very old. And, you know, the supply company is not interested in upgrading because it's very expensive to upgrade. If they come in and if they upgrade my street, they'll spend probably $150,000, and all they'll do is cover five houses because these five houses are all sitting on 5 acres, right? So it's not productive for them to do. They're going to continue to patch it and to continue to keep pushing the buck along. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, it could happen that you could see a lot of these suburbs. I'm not saying all suburbs, because there are some that they will always have demand, and where there's wealth, people will want to live there. But these suburbs that are kind of in the middle, middle-class suburbs, you may see people that say, hey, we can't afford these homes. Let's move into cities. And you may see, like, you're forced to rebuild cities because you have to get more efficient, right? And that may be where you see these Lego buildings come in. I don't know, but I'm just...
For what's happening in the U.S. today is, like, the reason why there's this, like, weird outcome, again, unintended outcome to like, visually to most people, is this immigration thing where everyone's jumping across the border. But why is that being allowed is what you have to ask yourself. And the reason it was being allowed is because on both sides of the political aisle, there are lobbyists and companies and real estate people and whoever else. And they're like, hey, we don't have enough labor to do any fucking work around here. We're not going to have the farms running. We're not going to have anything running. We don't have new people show up. So there was very little political incentive not to let a bunch of people in, but there's no great way to tell the American people, oh, by the way, we need to let this many people in and, you know, like, we're going to vote on it and shit. So they created this weird situation where they just don't enforce it.
I mean, obviously this is just how government works. So complaining about it is kind of silly. Like it's really silly because, like, good luck trying to make it work better. But, you know, they could have very easily gone and brought skilled labor in from other countries. You could have let the southern people come from the southern border. But for instance, if you go to Poland, people will literally have master's degrees in certain construction fields. You know, I had a guy that worked for me and he had a master's degree in cement, literally fucking cement. He knew everything there was to know about cement. He was a master in cement. And, you know, like there would be a huge incentive to bring cultures that have pushed that, bring those people into the United States because we truly need that here. So it's odd that we don't do that, but we bring in a bunch of unskilled labor. I'm all for the immigration. We need it. We need to balance it.
They could have pushed. Yeah, they could have definitely pushed for a huge increase in just illegal immigration and just done it. Which
we should have done.
Then like especially enhancing specific types of areas that maybe are missing. And they've done this in the past, by the way, back in the 60s and stuff.
You know, in Germany, we basically let everyone from Syria, right? And the thing is, they're just like a lot of people that don't want to work. And if you let them in, they just abuse whatever is there. And now we end up like with, I think right now we have like 300,000 people, not from Syria just alone, but they should leave the country and they have no real means to kick them out because they're all over the place and the government really doesn't want to take care about it. You just open the door and let everyone in. And I see the same mistakes being made in the US right now. Yeah, you should at least check, run some background checks and check who's coming in, right?
I'm going back to the concrete thing. That shit's awesome. Like a master's degree in concrete, because I work in concrete, or I've worked in concrete before. And concrete tech is amazing. I'm just going to say, like, the whole world is concrete. Like, it's like dirt and concrete, like some kind of level of mudding and like hardening. So maybe this is the answer.
Everyone needs to get a master's in concrete.
Yes. Like I should be, like, I was actually thinking the other day, like, I was like, why don't I have a kiln? Why don't I have, like, why is ceramic so hard for me? And then I was looking at a spark plug the other day, like actually earlier, I was like, why have I been throwing away spark plugs? I should be collecting the spark plugs so I can get this high end ceramic and make a new powder out of it. And then make my own like little, crucible from spark plug ceramic. This is a thing.
Well, it's like the overall unintended consequences of a lot of the sort of like science and technology world have been these kind of weird like distortions in reality where like society goes in one direction and you're like, uh-oh, we went too far in this direction. And then you have to like have a hard pivot. Like perfect example would be, oh, we have too many people. So China decides to go with the one child policy, which was like, you know, maybe the central planner at the top thought they were being really smart, but they hadn't really thought it through. And this is the case with AI situation now, is that basically you have a bunch of people that think they're really smart, but there's no way for them to think through the consequences. And human biological fragility is pretty high. And we know this because, like, look at how many people show up to my doorstep trying to kill themselves every day. It's pretty high. So, like, people's ability to adapt to, like, the technical world has not been as good as you might think. And I think, like, there's not really a good reason to believe that the modern AIs that are being put together now are really that much better at solving this problem. Having kids, you know, like promoting like family and stuff. But the reality is, like, at this moment, if every woman on, you know, in most countries in, say, Europe is not having three kids, they're just simply, those races just go extinct. And that's just something you just have to live with. You're like, okay, fine. You don't like your own race enough, or whoever you are, like, that it's worth keeping your civilization alive. That's pretty much a decision you're making on an individual basis. That's where we are today. Like, it takes 3 to 4 kids. It's already too late for Europe. You need 4 kids to kind of catch up. So, like, Europe is in this boat, Russia, so many countries, South Korea, some, you know, Japan, whatever. And there's not really a way to turn it around. Like South Korea knew this was a problem already back 10 years ago. And now 10 years have gone by, and the birth rate dropped even further. It didn't actually turn around. Modern society makes life a lot easier in many ways. We don't have to spend as much time farming. We don't have to spend as much time doing all sorts of stuff, actually.
Steffi, help me make my Tinder bio right now. I need to put
your Tinder bio. He needs to go out and, like, you know, enough Twitter spaces to go meet a real girlfriend. Is that what you're saying? I would tend to agree, by the way. Like, do that.
I feel like I need to not be on that. Yeah, because I just said that earlier. Like, I need to, like, okay, what's the problem? Oh, he's saying I need to fuck and make babies.
Right. We need to bring procreation on chain. We need to get this on the blockchain.
I feel like I got the whole money situation down, like, solid now. That I'm like, okay, I know how the money printer works. Now I need to print out a baby.
And yeah, but we need to put it on the chain so we can, like, incentivize this. Like, the more babies you have, it's like mining. You know, like, you're mining these kids, you're mining your tokens.
Yeah. You know what? We just crowdsource this
proof of work
process. I'm going on Tinder right now.
We're gonna need to have, like, clone wombs pretty soon, since women don't want to have extra kids.
I will say that I have I'm in my mid 30s, and my parents had me when they were really young, and I have a bunch of siblings, but my youngest one is in her early 20s. And I've noticed that I have a sister who's in her early 30s. And between me and her, the majority of everyone we grew up with in New York City, like, does not have kids. And it doesn't look like they're going to have kids. Versus my sister's generation.
Really, it's that frequent.
Yeah, it's really frequent.
Like every other person you know, or everyone.
Yeah,
you know.
And so essentially, like, I'm in a situation where it's like the only friends that I have that have kids are ones that got married really. They actually tend to mostly be Jewish. And I say that in the sense where there was a huge promotion to get married to another Jewish person and to have kids. And it was pushed by the family. And thank God, because somebody had to do it, right? So the culture kind of pushed them to do that. But everyone else, you know, they're still floating. And obviously, it's also a very expensive city. So going back to what you were saying before, it's very difficult to have a kid. I have friends that are in their mid 30s that literally cannot afford to have kids. They want to, they just don't know how to. So that's a situation that we're in. But what I see with my sister's generation in their early 20s, like, all these girls, from what I gather from her, like, they're much more ambitious about getting married soon and having kids, because they see girls that are 10 years older than them and the hell that they're going through, and they're like, I'm gonna fade that. I don't want to do that.
A lot of it is the science and technology expectations of quality of life, meaning I've got to have this level of car. I have to have this many square footage. I've got to live at this thing. So by the time you've prioritized all that shit, you've already, like, pre-planned out a bunch of shit you don't need necessarily to have children. And then you've priced yourself out of the ability to have any. And you basically have, like, extincted your bloodline, essentially. Like, it's kind of a weird side effect, but it is a interesting series of ideas that, like, science and technology didn't intend to do this to people. It was just an unintended consequence. And that's why I bring this always back to this AI idea. Is the reason I have this layer of pessimism for AI is because I have not, the modern science and technology so far has led to a variety of unintended consequences for which there seemed to be no solution except for completely going back into the feudalism or some bullshit. So, like, how do you get back to that? Like, where you have, because remember, there's two pieces to this. For a woman to have three children, you have to be both young enough to have three children, because each child takes a minimum, like, a year or whatever. And, you know, most people need some gap in between, obviously. So let's take, say, like the most people, most women, like it's going to take at least 5 years to have three kids. Let's say you have to have the ability to take care of those three kids or whatever. You have to have the time to do it. And so when we've pushed back our first child to like 25 plus, which is very common, by the way, I know I had my first one at 27 or whatever. Like if we put, and my wife's the same age as me, like if we push back to 27, then, you know, you have one and then maybe you wait a few years, you got some work to do, you have this, that, and now you're in your 30s. The older you go, the more likely, by the way, that a woman herself is going to have other issues, that she can't have another kid for some reason or the other. There might be family consequences. There may have been, like, you know, the male died and now you're in disarray, or there's any number of reasons. Basically, your opportunity events for having a certain number of kids just dissipates at some level. And one of the biggest societal things that has happened, I would say, is pushing back the age that women have kids to a much longer age was a big part of the women's sort of liberation movement, but it also led to our extinction, which is fascinating. So it's like you have to, women have to concede that if they are not going to have kids, that they're fine with their civilization dying off. And that's an acceptance that you have to come to. And basically everyone has decided this, like every industrialized group, most women with a high education do not have three kids. So practically everyone in the high IQ range or people that are capable are not having enough. And that's exactly the type of kids you need more of, because, well, who's going to run and repair the rest of the world when the time comes? You have to have some high IQ people to do this. And if you're only having one child, you're basically extincting. You're creating an extinction of that group over time. And it's not noticeable in your lifetime, but it will be noticeable in your, you know, next generation and a generation after that. And so that's what we're about to see, like really, really hard, big time in Europe, for sure. A lot of Asia. America's not so bad. The birth rates aren't dropped nearly as much bad as a lot of other places, but has been on the decline, and sexual activity has been very much on the decline. In the United States in particular. Is AI going to solve any of this? I don't know. Like, I think, like, one thing that you guys said was like, well, maybe lot of the labor gets taken by robots and machines at some point, and maybe that reduces that to some extent, and maybe that frees up time, and maybe that time can be used to have more kids. The problem is when you do all this, that doesn't automatically mean that people are going to use their time to have more kids. They're going to maybe use the time so far. They've used the extra time that modern society has provided, where we don't all have to join the military. We don't have to all join farming. We have used that time to just blow our time doing nonsense for the most part. We haven't used that time to necessarily have kids. So it's not automatic that just because you have more time, you'll spend it like on this particular endeavor. So really, like what Adana said, most people can't afford a kid. So your child becomes a liability, not a asset. If you have old days where you have a giant farm and you have like seven kids, they're all farming on your farm, well, then they're an asset because they're doing these things. But for most people, like you got to put your kid through college and whatever, you have to raise them, you have to pay for all the different, you know, pieces of that puzzle, and it might take you a couple of hundred grand per kid or more to raise a kid to a certain level, if not more, if you have to put them through higher education and stuff. So all of that costs money, and that, like, you know, you have to then prioritize that as your priority, as opposed to other stuff you could spend money on, like a slightly better car or fancier food or whatever the hell you're doing with your money.
I think,
and your time.
Hold on. This is something you said, like, I think last year sometime, and this is in regards to like this is probably 2022, like or 2021. You were talking about basically like the bond yields and how basically we had discovered a way to, like, I think it was you, basically no longer care about if we got a token right now, right, and you put it in there, you would basically be able to live off the fact that you use your brain process power now to, you know, you would capitalize on the energy you expended right now to make a transaction, and then basically put that in like a bonding curve, bond yield. So the whole money thing, at least in this sphere, is already fixed. So if you're like in this field and you want to have a kid, I don't think you have to worry about money anymore. I think it would just basically come down to the fact that you're supposed to stop worrying about money. And if you think you're priced out of having a baby, then, like, I think that's a demon on itself. Like, when did we come up with the concept of pricing yourself out of a baby?
Yep, that is, I mean, it's relatively new. Like the last 30 years or so, it's relatively new for sure. But like, think about it. Why did it happen? It happened because you have all sorts of other stupid shit you buy now that you didn't used to buy back then, right? So the baby boomer generation, like cars are being invented, right? All that stuff happened during that time. Before that, like, what did you buy exactly? You know, what did you have that was worth owning? So the amount of your net income that you spend on a car, and then you spend borrowing money to buy a car, and then you bought a house, and then you borrowed money to buy a house, and you're paying interest. So all of these interest payments everyone's paying is money that would have gone to like having a kid. Instead, you gave it to a corporation so you could have this thing. So
I would also say though, Steffi, that I think one thing in the, I mean, all over the world, but specifically in the United States is that it has gotten harder to get a house. And because of that, it makes it harder. But it's not just because they're more expensive, but going back to what you were saying before, the McMansions, no one builds starter homes anymore. So what the only starter homes that exist are basically falling apart and they need to be completely renovated. So the house can maybe it's $200,000 in North Carolina, but it also needs $100,000. So it's difficult to do that versus when you bought a house in a Sears and Roebuck catalog, right? Like houses were super affordable.
Yeah.
So
imagine like the 1950s or something like that.
Well, I mean, by the way, like if we do want to be successful, we're going to have to collectively figure out these problems. We're going to have to make housing easier and more affordable. That may mean that, like, you know, we went from getting back into the cities and redeveloping
but
cities.
A lot of it, though, is just the amount of expectation of how much square footage we're supposed to have.
Well, also, though, as far as building those stuff goes, is that if I'm building houses, it does not pay for me to build a house for a 12 or 13, 14, 1500 square foot home. It's going to cost you almost the same. You might as well go for 3,000 square feet and try to get as much money as you can out of it. So that's why all the builders are building 3,000-4,000 square foot homes. It just doesn't pay to build 1,000 square foot homes.
Based on the last commercial property I built, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of this has been put into practice because of the way building and zoning laws work. Because, like, let's say, for example, you're building a certain size commercial building. You have to have X amount of parking for that goddamn thing. And now you're building this gigantic parking lot, whether or not you're going to use the whole thing or not. And you can't just have people parking sometimes on the street, and therefore you don't have to. So what you end up having is like, and then on top of that, like, let's say you have to have a certain number of bathrooms for the certain amount of occupancy. And so the place gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so once you start complying with all these different rules, you wind up with a house that, unless you build it a certain size, it doesn't even make sense. You can't build the 500 square foot house because the amount of ancillary shit that you have to build for a 500 square foot house is not much different than a 1,000 square foot house at that point, right? Does that make sense? Like, the scale of the house versus the scale of all the other shit. And then, of course, everything just scales out into too big. And you wind up with this. And not only that, but think about this. In America, everyone has like this idea of a two-car garage. I mean, that's a lot of square footage that you're building for your cars. And that's a very common concept. I can't have a garage. Like, if I don't have a two-car garage, I can't have my two children, which are my two cars. Because if I don't have the garage, it's going to get snow damage and hail damage and whatever else. And so you have to basically have that. So this technology of designing, like, where we got cars, we ended up having a separate problem. Now we have to have more square footage to store them. And then by the time we have that, now we have to pay for that fucking thing and pay interest for our whole life to buy the house. And then once you've done all of that, where's the room left over to have the kids and stuff? So we do buy a lot of shit we don't need. And we create a society that necessitates like a bunch of garbage that probably does not solve the problem of having kids. And not to mention what we mentioned earlier is like suburban Americas, for example, is way too spread apart. So like you have to have a car. You can't even get anywhere without one. And on top of that, like the kids don't even have any, they don't even play with each other anymore because they're too far away from each other. Like,
I can't tell you how many friends of mine like left the city during COVID and like bought a house. And what I told them all was, I'm happy for you that you got a house and that's awesome because that's what you want. But just know that living in the suburbs is much more expensive than living in the city. And when I tell people that, they go, what are you talking about? New York City is so expensive. Okay, you don't need a car. You can get anywhere with $2.75 with the Metro card. yes, your rent is expensive, but you buy a house, that house obviously has, so does your apartment, but it has a mortgage, it has property taxes, which are normally very expensive because it takes a lot of resources to maintain these roads and to put schools in the middle of nowhere and everybody spread apart. You need multiple cars. You can't have one car. As soon as your kid turns 16, they need a car. All my relatives lived up there, and like every one of my cousins, my uncles and aunts had 3, 4, 5 kids, and everybody had like 5, 6, or 7 cars. You know, it's very fucking expensive versus if you live in a city where it's much more efficient. Obviously, you're probably not going to have 3, 4, 5 kids if you live in New York City. But life is much more efficient in that sense, you know. So,
well, in the cities, I don't know if the birth rates are any better or even worse, possibly. I'm not sure.
Well,
to the point of getting back to that, like, how do you solve that? Yeah. Then either way, it's kind of tough.
It's tough. Well, one thing that I noticed in the Northeast, obviously, the building that happens over here, if something gets knocked down, they're just going up as high as they possibly are allowed to. But in the Northeast, you know, most of the building that's happened in the previous 20 years has been Toll Brothers building McMansions on 1-acre lots. What we're seeing is that most of the new buildings are townhouses that are built with like some sort of medical facility centered around it and some sort of like village. So they'll build like 500 townhouses, you know, like 1,000 apartments, like some sort of medical facility, and then like some sort of main street for this like new little community. And they're kind of popping up everywhere. And another thing that, for instance, specifically like my generation, the mid-30-year-olds, is that they mostly have no skills. So owning a house is really difficult. I mean, unless if you're very wealthy, this isn't a problem. You can call for services. But the previous generation, like, they knew how to fix their faucet.
I know how to fix all my own shit. So yeah, it's like, but if I have to, I can.
Yeah.
I have the money to, you know, hire it out if I want to, but there's a lot I could fix if I want to.
Well, what happens that's if you can't get anybody? At least you know now how to, even if you don't want to, because you're forced to. Right. So, but that's, It was different. It's different for you because, you know, you learn those things. They're little skills that are useful. And we also decided that, no, we're going to hyper-specialize. We're not going to teach you all these little useful skills. And a lot of it also had to do with education, too. A lot of these things were pulled out of schools. When I was in middle school in sixth grade, I had shop class. And it was awesome.
Yep. I had
that.
I
was
had
shop. It.
I also had I was the for some reason I got I got to that particular school district late and I was the last person to pick classes. So I got homemaking in seventh grade, and I was with like it was like me and like 30 girls. It was actually not a bad deal, pretty good deal there. But yeah, I learned how to cook and stuff and this and that, and actually it turned out really good because now I know how to cook and whatever, and probably having that class for a year probably made a difference in that. But yeah, like some of those basics just disappeared from school.
Little incremental things like that, like shifts that we made, sometimes you see like these little tiny changes have these like big disastrous effects, like taking certain programs out of schools pretty much across the country. Like it left kids behind. So it's like, it's great that you learn English and US history and Spanish or whatever the fuck, but I think that it was good that people took shop class. I think that it was good for some people to be exposed to even some sort of trade in high school so that maybe they were like, well, maybe like I'm a C student. Like, why do I need to go take $200,000 in debt? Like, maybe I should go learn how to be an electrician, right?
One of the things that having that kind of capability at that age, like let's say you did, you weren't that great in certain classes or whatever. You maybe weren't so smart. You're not in the high IQ batch or whatever it is. One of the plus sides of having trade things is that you could build confidence in something. And I think that building confidence in something is better than having no confidence in anything. And what, you know, you'll have less depression, suicides, and other chaos that comes from war, school shooters, and fucking, you know, all the sociopathy that you see. You'd have less of it if, like, in particular with men, if you didn't have like this kind of like derelict behavior that, you know, comes from this. Yeah, for sure. Like, I would agree with you. Like, more hard skills probably need to be like replaced in high school. But then who's going to teach that shit now? That's the other problem. The teaching problem is another.
Well, it's one thing like for a 7-year-old to teach electricity versus carrying copper wires and running them through a building and actually doing the work. So there are a few people left that may be able to teach it, but there's not many people that can actually do it.
Yeah, that's true. like between both of those, it's like you're running out of teachers soon, right? So that like,
but I also recently watched a video of a robot skim coat a 30 by 15 room, like living room, as like kind of like an example of like how this technology will work. In a minute and a half, it skim coated from floor to ceiling, all four walls and the ceiling. That's a job that would take like an individual a week.
So you mean that you mean painting it?
No, skim coating it. So this is plastering it. So taping, plastering, and then priming it, and then it will be ready for painting. But this was just a robot, essentially. Like you set it in the room.
I saw a Twitter video of a robot doing actual painting as well.
Yeah,
so that's coming.
Yeah, that's going to come. So, but then you know, like, who's going to buy these? It's going to have to be big construction corporations that can afford to buy this and scale this. And for the little mom and pop operators, they're not going to be able to, because they're not going to have the resources to. So it's obviously going to.
Some of the robot tech is really simple though. It's a lot cheaper than you think.
Oh, okay.
So like you're talking about pretty much like a pair of wheels, like, you know, a waist type thing that flexes, you know, it's like two rectangles. Like they're getting really, really simple. As far as like specialty robots, not having too much extra shit connected to them. But at the same time, the reliability of the things becomes in question. Like, how many of you have a pressure washer in the fucking, you know, the things don't last very long. So,
dude, I change like my pressure washers like every other year.
Exactly. Like, they just don't make it. So it's, some of these things seem like a great idea in theory, but then in reality, like then you have to have someone else to repair that shit, and it doesn't really help you much.
So we're fucked, boys.
Yep, we're fucked. Yeah, go learn something useful and like make a life.
buy more Link, I guess.
Have children. That's wise. Anyway, let's head out of here. By the way, the title of the space was "What's About to Run Now," and it's pretty much Litecoin, Dogecoin, Ethereum Classic, all the Dino coins you can imagine are probably what's going to run. We talked about it at the very beginning of the space. If you missed it, if you want to like. When I close this, the recording will be there, but it covered like what's going to move now. And I think as BTC languishes here at prior high, that's what's going to pump. So if you like, that's kind of the easy money play right now. Have a small bag, let them run.
Hold up.
Sell them at that like, point.
Is this make baby money? Like if I wag into these bags, I'll be able to like make a baby right after.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay. No, I don't know about that. Just saying like, it's like there's a few easy money plays right now, and it's probably worth parking a little bit there and just letting it ride for the next like 3-4 months. I think you'll do pretty well. And if they dip, scale in a little bit, but like chart wise, it's the turn of the Dino coin layer ones. Essentially, I think those are going to be what pumps next. In fact, they already started, but their charts are primed to like break out of their resistances and stuff.
I'll put that on my Tinder bio right now. Dino one good. Layer, Dino one.
That's your Tinder. We never got to your Tinder.
I use the Dino layer in the crypto Dino layer now to make money. I need to make baby now.
Make baby now. Like turn Litecoin into three babies immediately. Actually, you'd be surprised. Yeah. There's probably a lot of women that actually prefer guys that are younger, but like have an earlier family oriented, like mature, like, you know, a concept of all of that. And I think the reality is a lot of guys have lost this concept. And so they're not able to actually attract anybody, partly because like the woman wants this. They have a certain age. They want to do these things. And like guys are not available to. That are interested. So I think it's interesting. I bet you the dating market is actually way more easy than you think. You just don't realize how inept most other guys have become. So if you feel like you're not very good at it, join the fucking club. It's not a big deal.
Just stand up straight and be confident.
Stand up straight and be able to speak like for more than 5 minutes and you'll be fine. Yeah.
Don't say too much. Listen mostly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, guys, have a good night. I'm gonna jump off.
You too, sir.
See you later, Noob. I've got a work tomorrow. Work on Saturdays. See you later. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner laced, acting non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.